This is the podcast for people that believe they do not need to change the world. We believe it's all about becoming the most effective version of yourself in the moments in life that matter the most. This is
the Inner Changemaker Podcast. Instead of changing the world, change their world. Changemakers, what is going on, everyone? Hope you are all having an amazing day, an amazing night, wherever you are tuning in from. I'm your host, Jay Wong, and really excited to be sharing this episode with each and every single one of you. And for those of you that have been following me on Instagram, or you follow my Insta stories, I appreciate you watching. You know, the last few days, it's been really, really hectic. We just had Father's Day here the day before. Francesca and my girlfriend, it's kind of a long story, but we finally got permanent residence, woo, in Canada for her. And I've also been hosting a couple mastermind dinners in the last few days, as well as being a part of my own mastermind here in Toronto. And was able to even drop into a couple events that were happening in Toronto. I spoke at one, went to two. Whew, it is a lot, right? And for those of you that have been following me, you know that I've been popping in and out of restaurants and hotels, and it looks really, really glamorous. But sometimes when you're kind of on the move, you know, you have to be present with what's in front of you. And, you know, one of the things that I've noticed was when I constantly surround myself, especially this last week, around entrepreneurs that were doing way more than I was. You know, they've already, you know, created their own seven-figure empire, you know, and I'm very much on my way to do so. But a lot of them are serial entrepreneurs. A lot of them are, you know, real experts in their one or two particular niches. And it's just so great to be able to, you know, break bread, drink a couple glasses of wine, and to talk about business, but also talk about our lives. And during those conversations, we would talk a lot about our own origin story. And, you know, this goes into this episode a little bit because I think it's important sometimes for us to go back and acknowledge the journey that we've been on to be able to even do half the things that we do today. You know, I think a lot of times we're always like such go, go, go mentality. And trust me, I'm probably a really great example of what that actually looks like. You know, I have a flight that I need to catch in literally about an hour and a half. And I'm recording this and wanting to get this out to my team, wanting to get this message out to each and every single one of you. But last week, for those of you that are listening on the podcast, last week I showcased an episode done by my new friend, Sarah Fennell. And it was really talking about the origin story of how my podcast got started and how I got started in content creation. And if you're starting on content creation, that's probably a really great episode for you. And this week, I thought I'd go even further back. And, you know, a little while ago, a guy named Tanvir messaged me and said, hey, I'm starting a podcast called Fresh Out of College. And he actually went to the same business school that I went to. And I thought the interview, we did the interview after a few, you know, email responses. We found the time, did the interview. I thought the interview was really great because it actually gave me a chance to talk and reflect about some of those business school years. You know, this was probably 18 years old, about 21 years old, when I ran my first business in the painting industry. A lot of you probably don't know about that, which I don't talk about a lot. And also the importance of education and what business school did for me, or what it did not do, hint. You know, also talking about how I was able to kind of leave and why I left my job behind, why I left people behind to pursue my own thing in Shanghai, and what transpired after that, and how that even, this was all pre online marketing Jay or podcasting Jay, or it was all pre like really being a true entrepreneur in my own right, and preaching this message of helping, you know, people like yourself, personal brands, business owners create a legacy that they can be proud of and make an impact for those around them. So it's been a really interesting ride. I can't wait for me to sit down this week and to share some of the lessons that I've learned in the last week hanging around seven-figure entrepreneurs. So look out for that episode. But until then, I'd love for you to, the first half an hour of this episode, we really dive into things that I rarely talk about on this podcast. And I think it'd give you a really good insight to not just tactically how to do it, but watching me and maybe some of my thought processes around what I was doing right out of school, how I was able to get maybe my first job, why I left my job. And maybe that's going to resonate with some of you. I know it's not going to be for everyone, but I thought it was really done well, the interview. So if you guys like the interview and you guys want to check out more of Tanvir's podcast, it's Fresh Out of College, Tanvir Mustafa. That's his name. I'm going to link to it in the show notes. That's enough for me. Remember, being a changemaker is not about changing the world. That is not what it is about, ladies and gentlemen. It's about becoming the best version of yourself so that you can impact the people closest to you in the moments in life that matter the most. So look forward to seeing you in a future episode, and I can't wait for you to dive into this one. All right, see you guys.
Welcome to the Fresh Out of College podcast. I'm your host, Tanvir Mustafa. Each episode, I interview highly successful graduates, current students, and dropouts who are influential in their communities, creating positive impact, and who are just doing really cool things in the world. I aim to inspire a generation of students and millennials to challenge their limits and dare to be great. Now let's get into the episode. So our next guest today graduated in 2011 with a marketing degree from the University of Ottawa. He is a serial entrepreneur, real estate investor, and host of The Inner Changemaker, a consistently rated top 100 podcast on iTunes Canada. In October 2016, his podcast was even featured at Toronto downtown's busiest intersection, Yonge and Dundas Square, highlighting the message of what can happen when you begin to tackle the seemingly impossible in life. He recently got named as one of the top 40 millennial influencers to follow in 2018 and constantly creates content around the theme of legacy over currency. Jay Wong, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, brother. I am so excited to be finally doing this. I don't know how long it's been. We've been talking about it. We've been thinking about it. We've been scheming about it. Here it is. So really, really, really excited to be here with you, man.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on to this. And I guess I just want to start off by asking you, what were you like as a student? Like, you graduated in 2011. What were you as a student at the University of Ottawa?
It's an interesting question because, it feels like it's a lifetime ago, you know, looking back at what the world was like at 2011, you know, because I think so many things have shifted, from exponential technologies to the internet to just like speed and to how knowledgeable people are and students are. And, you know, you're a great testament, right? Like, you're starting a podcast, like, just finishing out of school. And so I don't know if I would classify myself as any one of the cool kids or anything like that. I can tell you as a student, I was a terrible role model. You know, would be the perfect example of, you know, Parkinson's law of doing everything like hyper last minute, of, you know, doing like two all-nighters in a row to get it done, yeah. Maybe get like a really strong B plus, maybe a B really.
Familiar, I get it.
Yeah. Like, just completely someone who, not just wanted to coast by, but, you know, I had an experience when I was in my first year university in business school, where I actually ran my own painting business. And so that summer I ran my own painting business. I had about 6 employees, working for me. I was the youngest person out of all of them. You know, my oldest employee was 33 years old. And, it was all these painters, right? We would sell paint jobs, like, in exterior paint jobs, interior paint jobs. And literally after that summer, it was one of the hardest experiences of my life. And, after that experience, everything from business school became a joke, you know, because I realized that I wasn't none of the, like, I failed, you know, just to put it in perfect context, I failed like algebra 101, whatever the algebra elective or the class that you need to take. I failed calculus almost twice, almost failed out of business school. And it was, the only reason I actually even still have the letter. It's a different story, but I actually still have the letter, from Telfer telling me that I was essentially kicked out because I'd failed too many classes. And, the reason I didn't, we can go into it if you want. I don't think I've ever actually shared the story, but the assistant dean at the time, I built up a really great relationship with him, just through charity, through organizations such as Casco, through raising funds, through I forget what it's called, but we did this thing for cystic fibrosis, right? Back in Telfer is like always hugely involved. So they knew of me, and so essentially they gave me kind of like an extra opportunity to stay in the school. That was the only reason I graduated on time with my friends and with my graduating class. Right. But literally after that first year of running my own painting business, everything became a joke because I knew none of what I was learning was going to be applicable to the real field of business. Now, it's a huge general statement. Because of course there's certain things you can learn. Of course you can get value and of course you can extract lessons along the way. But, one of the biggest things that it told me was that in business and as well as in life, the biggest teacher is always going to be experience. Right. And so I always favored the experience of doing something, you know, over the actual theory or whatever the textbook would say.
Right. So I just find that so ironic because now, you know, you've built this incredible podcast, these incredible businesses, you're helping people scale their businesses. Take me back to that painting job that you did over the summer. Yeah. You said it was the hardest experience of your entire life. Why? Why was it so difficult? And what did it teach you that business school couldn't?
So the one thing that I love the question. So I'm still really good friends with, I worked with this company at the time. It was called Student Works Painting. And, sometimes it's called College Pro. I'm still really, really good friends with the CEO, Chris Thompson. Literally just spoke at one of their events like, about 5 months ago. And, we still keep in touch. We literally, you know, was chatting on the phone in April. But, back then, you know, I was this like skinny 18-year-old kid. The only reason I even wanted to do it was because there was they found like an attractive girl that came into like the business school class 101, and she said, "Hey, if you want to make a lot of money this summer, then sign up this form and come to this like you know come to this meeting. We'll tell you how to make a lot of money." And I was like, "Dude, that's why I'm in business school." You know, like came from an immigrant family, you know, like I saw how much my parents like sacrifice, you know, their entire lives and how many times they uprooted their lives for me and for my younger brother. So I was like, if there's one thing I could figure out, you know what I mean? If there's one thing I could figure out, it's maybe I could figure out how to make money. And then if I figure out how to make money, then they won't have to suffer, right? They won't have to live. And at that time, actually about a year before then, my parents had to declare bankruptcy on one of the businesses that they were running. So our family was in this kind of like financial crisis, but it's not like I went into school telling people this, you know what I mean? It's not like I made t-shirts or anything, but this is kind of what was going on internally. And for me, the reason it was, Student Works, the painting business, what it taught me was that you're going to be overwhelmed. And life is going to punch you in the face constantly with problems that you're not going to want to solve or you don't know how to solve. And your job as an entrepreneur and as a leader is not to succumb to that pressure or not to succumb to that overwhelm, not to say that you're any less human, but it's for you to say, I accept that all these things are going to happen, but nonetheless, I'm going to find a way for me to serve my customers. I'm going to find a way to be the leader that I need to be for my team. I'm going to find a way to overcome and surmount all these insane problems that you don't know what to deal with. You know, you know, this one team, you know, having an entire can of paint on someone's driveway, you know, or this other person really messed up this person's house. And like, do we have the proper insurance? And it's like, you're 18 years old. You don't know how to deal with anything. You know, like I literally went from hosting keggers, you know, in our residence like dorm to trying to run this like operation. And I had no experience, you know, didn't know how to hire. And many times I remember going at the end of the day, it would be like 12, 14 hour days. And I would be I'd be in my car. There's paint everywhere. You know, there's paint in my fingernails. There's paint on my shirt. There's paint, you know, on the car seats. I'm like, oh my God, my parents are, they have no idea why I'm running a painting business, you know? And I just remember feeling so overwhelmed constantly. But because I like survived that experience, because like I went through it and, you know, I was able to finish in about the top. I wasn't the best by any means. I finished in, I think, like the top 25% or top 30%. By the way, the top 10% of the company gets to go in like Mexico and they get to like do all these like cool VIP things. I didn't get a chance to do all those. I came in like just kind of like once again coasting, but that experience really taught me that experience and life, like these things are going to overwhelm you. They're going to punch you in the face, and it's going to be okay.
Yeah, and I bet punching you in the face gets you to learn really fast, too, just from the sound of the experience.
Well, all of a sudden, everything that you read about, right? Everything that you studied and you crammed, you know how, like, when you cram for an exam, you remember, like, you know, this person's, like, 14 laws of, like, business, or Peter Drucker's, like, 3 E's, and, like, you remember, like, yeah. Oh, what a SWOT analysis is, like, all of that comes into an actual play, right? Mm-hmm. And when someone's yelling at you, you know, about something that you or your team didn't do, you can't give them a SWOT analysis. You can't tell them and show them on a graph what it's going to look like. You have to actually figure out how to solve their problem right there and then, you know, because it becomes human to human, right? It becomes this relationship that you want to honor, you know, because potentially, you know, you want to, you know, do a great job on the one deal, but you want to be able to get more deals, right? And so I think learning that at a young age of 18 years old, it gave me this edge. It gave me this confidence to start looking at all these things in business school, to start looking at my own life, to start seeking opportunities and thinking, you know what? I'm going to be all right. No matter how difficult this gets, no matter how overwhelmed I'm going to feel, I'm going to be all right. You know, because I went through hell. All right. I went through something that I thought I couldn't survive. There's many times that you want to quit, that you want to just say stop. You know, It's kind of like UFC. You want to be able to tap out. But here's the thing. In a fight, you can tap out and then it's over. Yeah. Right. And it's embarrassing. Maybe you lost a lot of money. Maybe you lost, like, maybe it's not good for PR. But in business, especially when there's money involved, especially when it's your money, especially when it's your reputation, you know, maybe you took money from your friends and family. Maybe they believed in you. Right. It's in those moments that you can't just tap out. You don't even have the option of tapping out. You have to see it through, you know?
Right.
And I think that's why entrepreneurship is this beautiful thing. But man, it is also this very destructive thing, because I don't think a lot of people maybe view it in the proper light. But it could be a beautiful thing if you can make it work.
Right. Jay, this is incredible knowledge so far. I'm loving it, honestly. Okay, so you graduated in 2011. I got that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then you went on this trip in 2014, which we'll talk about soon.
Sure.
Between 2011 and 2014, what was your life like? What did you do in that time frame?
So, you know, I was on a recent interview and they said they had asked me, they said, when did you know? Right. That was kind of like the question. I was like, what do you mean when, like, I kind of know what you're asking, but like, could you go a little deeper? They said, when did you know you were going to do this, right? When did you have the idea that you wanted to go speak around the world and, like, help business owners and, like, spread this message of positivity and, like, do what you do, right? And I was like, well, to be honest, I didn't know all those details. But I told them the story. I said, when I was 17 years old, I was like an even worse student in high school. And I found myself being kind of good, maybe mediocre at most things, definitely never great. You know, I never made the cut for great. And long story short, I ended up winning. They had a competition for the male speaker as well as the female speaker to speak at the graduation ceremony. So I went to high school in the US, in Maryland, and it doesn't matter why they do this, but I ended up winning the male valedictorian spot to speak. And so my first speech ever was at Constitutional Hall, I think June 16th, 2007, you know, and the first speech was in front of 4,000 people. Wow. And it was one of the scariest things, right? And when I was doing the talk, I knew during the talk, somewhere along the talk, somewhere between page 2 and page 3, I just knew. I just knew that this was something, this type of communication, this type of storytelling, this type of using words in a very specific way of trying to garner and generate some type of emotion from people. I knew that I could be great at this. I just didn't know how. And so the reason I tell you this is because I went through all those motions. Like, I went to business school. I, like, graduated barely, you know, from 2011 to 2014, I got a job, right?
Yeah.
And I tried to, you know, I got other job offers, I got promotions, I did all the things that I thought I needed to do, right? Mm-hmm. To either appease my family, to appease my friends, to fit in. My teachers were telling me, everybody around me was doing it. But during that time, the reason I bring this up is because I didn't start doing what I'm doing now until about 2015, right? And so I just told you, I knew the answer in 2007,
right?
You know? So it took me about, I didn't know how. And even when I started, I didn't know how, but it took me 8.5 years to even have the courage to begin, to have the courage to look at my gift, to look at what it is that I think that I could present to the world and begin. You know, so to answer your question, I worked with this amazing organization called Strategic Coach, and that's where I met a lot of the early people that came on my podcast. But it's also where I met one of my mentors, Dan Sullivan. You know, mm-hmm. And Dan, their company coaches high net worth individuals, and so I would find myself in a room with the people like a Peter Diamandis, who's like trying to send people to the moon, or I'd find myself in a room with, you know, really successful online marketers such as Jeff Walker or Frank Kern. And like, these are like legends, and like they're creating, they're not just like dominating their industry. Like we're talking yeah. 8 figures, 9 figures, right? Like one guy I remember pulled me aside. They were like, you know, Jay, you know what I dislike coming about to Pearson Airport in Toronto? I'm like, no, what do you dislike about it? He goes, oh, it's really difficult to park my plane in Pearson. I'm like, oh, I'm like, cool. I'm happy with an economy seat, you know, like in the middle, like in between. I'm like, put me in any seat. I'm just excited to be on a flight. This guy's complaining about parking his jet. I'm like, okay, cool. So those are the caliber of individuals that were in the room. I was hyper grateful to be a part of that because I was the youngest person at the company. And I was just learning from all these giants that were just dominating their industry, but ultimately they're ultimately looking to impact the world. And that's kind of what started and inspired me to kind of start my own journey.
Gotcha. And so then, you know, you had the idea, or you knew back in 2007, took you 8.5 years to kind of build up the courage. And then you went on this, soul searching trip in 2014 to Asia.
Yeah.
Did you, you know, what was that trip like? Did you go knowing beforehand that, okay, this is a soul searching trip, or, you know, tell me what that experience is like and what you learned from it.
So, okay, I got to say a couple things. So for the everybody listening that maybe have immigrant parents or maybe like, you know, feel that you can't go on a trip like that, the way okay, so I'm saying that I don't think I've ever said this in an interview, but the reason, so I wanted to go to do the whole soul searching thing. I think I was having a bit of a quarter life crisis, call it that, you know? So that was like the real reason, right? Mm-hmm. But the reason that I spun it and I told everyone was that I was going to go and learn Mandarin, right? And they're like, oh, okay. So if you're in school, like, it kind of justifies it. Like, why do you feel like, why can't you learn Mandarin here? And it's like, I just have to be in like the environment. I remember like, I really, really sold it. And, you know, partially it's true for anyone who's ever traveled in Asia. You do have to, like, your experience not knowing Mandarin versus your experience knowing Mandarin is very, it's like two different things, right? So like, I would recommend if you do want to go like backpack or like, you know, go live in Asia for any period of time, so, like at least know basic Mandarin. I knew zero. Like when I landed, and I was like, you know, that's the job of like the school, right? And so I was so excited to be there. But I think the truth is I knew I wanted to separate at that time. I think I wanted to separate myself, from my current environment, right? I think we read all the time that we are beings of habits, but environment plays huge into that. You know what I mean? It influences the way that you think. It influences your high performance and influences your productivity. So for me, I was in this environment in Toronto, though from the outside looked amazing. I felt like I was dying a little bit on the inside. You know, I was constantly around people that were, you know, drinking, indulging in drugs. You know, at my work, though I'm immensely grateful for it, I was traveling all the time, going to different like U.S. cities, presenting on the company's behalf. I found myself working all the time. And even though I was living downtown, we would have these parties and everything is focused on, you know, bringing together people, but it was all on the idea of let's forget about what happened Monday through Friday. Let's live our best lives now, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday brunch. Like, it was on this like repeat system. And I realized that if I was going to stay there, that one, I was just every day that I was doing that, I'm saying no to the gift that I already knew back in 2007, right? Every day I'm essentially looking in the mirror and say, no, not today. Maybe someday, right? Right. Every day I would do that. And eventually I got to the point where I thought, I don't know if this is the person that I want to be. You know, like, I think you come to a judgment call of saying, like, this is going to be an ultimatum. Is this the person that I ultimately want to be, or can I step into something new? And so China and Shanghai was a way for me to not just enter into a new world, not just learn Mandarin and not just to meet, you know, international people and to be by myself, but it was to really say, away from the influence of my friends, away from the influence of my parents, away from the influence of others, what is it that I truly want? Right. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, I didn't really know until I got to China, because it gave me the space to actually think about it, to journal about it, to, you know, to actually creatively be able to assess it. And I think at that point, I knew I had to do something. I still didn't know what. Right. And I don't think you figure out, I think as all great entrepreneurs, we, someone told me this terminology the other day. They said, you want to avoid the how pies. I'm like, what's a how pie? They're like, figuring out how to do anything. It's not figuring out how, it's figuring out who. So who has done that, right? Who has done those things? What did they do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You hire them. Could you get a coffee with them? Could you interview them, right? Like, what is it that you could do to get in proximity of that person? Because it's not figuring out the how. The how's been figured out, right?
Right.
It's not your job to figure out. It's your job to position yourself next to the who, you know, so that you can get some of that knowledge as well. And so I hope that answered your question.
It does. I feel like the who definitely plays into the how. It's almost like a direct correlation between if you can find someone, and they say this with any, you know, habit or like waking up in the morning, building like a habit to go to the gym, like whatever, whatnot, you know, emulate someone that does it very successfully already, find out how they do it and what their process is. And I think, like, me interviewing you for this podcast, you know, you're a number one podcaster, so it'll help me hopefully, you know, improve my podcasting skills as well. So would you say that trip was the tipping point for you?
This is a really good distinction, and I don't get to talk a lot about the trip because we're talking a little off record before. Like, all the interviews now are like so focused on like internet marketing, scaling, growth, like, and that's amazing. But I think this is a really important point, part for people to listen to. Going the trip itself, maybe it had something to do with it, but I wouldn't say it had the biggest part to do with it. Learning Mandarin on itself is impressive, because now I speak Mandarin. And when I was living in Shanghai, after a few months, like, I spoke Mandarin, right? But the act of learning Mandarin, to me, in my mind, growing up and speaking Cantonese, was impossible. Like, I deemed it impossible. I was like, I will forever, like, you know, like some of you, certain things you just accept in your life. You're just like, hey, I accept that I'm never going to be in the NBA. You know what I mean? I just accept it, right? Yeah. Because I'm just never going to, you know, be there, right? Like, when I was running track in high school, I did everything I could to like qualify for like regionals, you know, like, it wasn't even like the biggest stage. It was like regionals, and I couldn't even do that, right? And so I had to accept at one point that I was like, look, I might not have the gifts and talents to be the best track athlete there ever was, right? And so for me, learning Mandarin was one of the first impossible things that I did. And when I started speaking it, I remember this one time, I got invited, I met this couple, and then, you know, 4 months later, they invited me to their wedding. And then on the day of their wedding, they invited me to do a speech in front of the wedding. And I was like, are you sure? Like, okay, like, you know, we were good friends, but like, you know, 4 months, like, in China, things get accelerated pretty quick. And so I found myself giving this speech in front of 250 like Chinese people, and like, they spoke like real Chinese, meaning like in Mandarin, putonghua comes down to as common language. It defines as like the common language. What is, like, why do they have a common language? Is because in China, there's like 50 plus dialects, you know? So like, let's say you're in Ottawa or whatever, you would have like an Ottawa dialect, you know, and I'm in like Vancouver, and like Vancouver would have a Vancouver dialect, and then we all speak Canadian. And it's like, what? Yeah. So like, I did that. Yeah. Like I did that talk in Mandarin, and we were not in like Beijing or Shanghai. We were in this like really tiny town. And people understood me. Not everybody understood me. Like, you know, I got some like confused, like kind of like weird, awkward, like laughs, but people mostly understood me. And I was like, whoa, like I could kind of like that scene in The Matrix is like, I know Kung Fu. Right. And it's oh my God, like I could do a speech in Mandarin. And it kind of makes sense. Like I didn't like, it's not like I just remembered the whole thing and like, you know what I mean? Just regurgitated it. So that moment in my mind, I started looking at all the other things that I thought was impossible. You know what I mean? Is it impossible to speak around the world? Is it impossible for me to share a message with the world? Is it impossible to use my gifts and be able to impact people and be able to share my gifts with them, to influence and encourage them to maybe do something different in their lives? Like, what is impossible, right? And I started really looking at that. And so that's what was a huge catalyst for me to start tackling some of the things that I started doing in my business.
Okay, so you looked at all these impossible things, like you were looking at speaking around the world, building a massive business. You came back from Asia, and let's say you were at zero, let's say you were at zero.
Sure.
How did you go from zero? You were at that point broke, I think living with your parents. How did you go from that to where you are now? And if you could give me like a couple, a brief summary of what your growth has been over that time and how.
So yeah, like I remember, like I gave myself a 90-day period. I said I want to generate some results from speaking and from sharing my stories and just like my voice. I want to figure out how could this be even a possibility, right? Mm-hmm. And so I remembered I needed a few things, you know. You need like kind of like a product. And I was like, cause you want to be viewed as like a business. And so it's like, okay, well, what about like an ebook? I know it's not like a product, but like, what if I just give away the ebook? So I like wrote an ebook about my experience, the whole thing that we just talked about, like going to Shanghai, like overcoming my fears, like figuring out impossible. So like wrote that in 2 weeks. Okay. I'm telling you timelines for a very specific reason. Did a website. I needed the website, right? You need a website. So it's like, okay, figured out how to do a website over a weekend. Okay. Watched like 3 hours of like YouTube tutorials and then like just did it the rest of the time. I needed videos. Before then, I never knew how to do videos and I was always scared to do videos. So I was like, okay, I told my brother, I was like, hey, you have a camera? Like, come over, like, let's film a video. And I'm really good off the cuff. I remember like I was like so confident. I was like, I'm really good off the cuff. Don't worry. Like I've done this before. That first video took me like 50 takes to do like a 3 minute like, and it was like, it's bad. It's still on my YouTube channel, by the way, if you want to go see it. Like it's rough. It was rough.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, it was rough. What else do I need? So you need video, you need a product, you need website, and then you need a blog, right? Those were like the four elements that I thought you needed. So I built all those in like about a month. It took me a month to like get to all those and if you can imagine like a website that it felt like I just duct taped the whole thing together. Like it was like, just push it out. Reid Hoffman, the founder of LinkedIn, has a really great quote. He always says like, if you're not embarrassed about your first version of your launch, then it means that you launched too late. You know, and I remember that quote and I was like, all right, just like go out. And I was like, okay, let's go to my immediate network, see if I can get like any speaking engagement. Found a speaking engagement within 6 weeks, that paid me 250 Canadian dollars. Dude, I was so stoked. I was like, well, I mean, it's not because 250 dollars, like it was nothing, right? It's still nothing, but like, it was just the idea of like, you know what? If I commit to this, I could figure out how to make this work, you know?
Right.
And that was like probably the biggest, the most meaningful $250. I would have framed the check, but I really needed it, even though I was living at my parents' place. Like I, you know, still needed it. And I was like putting everything on my visa. Biggest like game changer for me, I always talk about it, was when I discovered how to leverage a podcast. And so I was able, a few months after that, I launched the podcast. I always thought it was the best life hack as well as a really great business hack. Life hack as in, one, you get to interview your own heroes. You get to, you know, be able to give them value in some ways and highlighting their message. Business hack, all of a sudden, I got a chance to collaborate with all these people that were like years ahead of me, you know? And they were able to help connect me with their networks. They were able to connect me with the right tools, the resources. And that's when things started getting really crazy. After that, I started speaking at specifically at podcasting and social media conferences, because we had a really, really successful launch. When we launched, we were the number one self-help podcast in Canada. And then we were trending in the US, and then it was bouncing back and forth. And then it just became like, more than just the five people that I kind of like strong arm to like get on my email list or strong arm to like listen to my podcasts. And so then I started speaking at podcasting conferences, and you know, the rest is kind of history, because the more I spoke, the more business owners I got to interact with, and the more power I realized that the podcast medium had. And I thought it was very early. I still think it's early. Because I really think that even though we're living in the golden era of video right now, I believe we're moving into the golden era of audio. It's just how it is, right? I got into an Uber the other day when I was in Toronto, and the guy literally had an iPad. I think it was like a Honda Civic. Like, it wasn't even like a fancy car, right? Like, he just had like an old iPad thing. He goes, "Hey, do you have a podcast you want to listen to, or do you have a Spotify playlist you want to play to?" First two options, right? I was like, dude, that's pretty cool, you know, because it just means that audio is becoming everywhere. And now, as much as people would love to watch our videos, right? But the thing is, they have to either hold their phone in front of them or they have to be at home watching this. But audio, someone's listening right now. Chances are maybe they're working out at the gym, or they're maybe waiting for the bus, or, you know, maybe they're in their car driving somewhere. That's the power of audio, because you can take it with you on the go, right? It's right. That ability to give you that time back. So that's how I was able to kind of start growing my business. And then within a couple of years, we passed the six-figure revenue mark.
Wow, that's insane. I've definitely been a fan of audio for a while. Like, for me, I believe I'm an auditory learner. With books, I prefer listening to audiobooks, because I just find, like, I remember things a lot more easier. And you can do it blindly. Like, you can do it not unconsciously, but, you know, while you're, like, doing the chores or like driving the car or whatever. And
sure.
I think it's going to replace radio, like, soon, if it's doing it already, but it'll do it.
Yeah.
Like, very 100% pretty soon, I think. What would you say has been, like, if you could identify a moment for me, the lowest low and the highest high for you on your journey so far? And you've been doing this entrepreneurship thing for quite a while. What has been your lowest low and highest high on that?
I have found that the highest highs and the lowest lows, it's kind of like, you ever seen that like infographic of like a typical day in like a typical day for an entrepreneur? And then like it goes like this, like it just goes like up and down. It's like, oh my God, I'm so awesome. And then like an hour later, you're like, I'm depressed. I'm like, I'm going to like fire myself, and like, I'm just going to close shop. And then like, you know, you have a new customer and you're like, oh my God, I'm like the world's best. And then like an hour later, you're like, I don't know if anyone's going to listen to this, or I don't know if anyone's going to, you know, buy it. Right. Like, you have all these, I think a lot of entrepreneurs resonate with that, because it's just the personality and just the way that it goes. For me, one of the hardest moments was when I had to move back in with my parents, you know, had to launch things out of their living room. You know, they had turned my previous bedroom into kind of like a study slash massage. It was a little weird, but I would like do recordings like in random places of the house. Right. And at the time, I never did video, because I was just like so embarrassed to be back home. And I just did audio. Right. And I was like, I'm just going to focus on crushing audio. But I remember a lot of nights, a lot of times before I hit published, before I launched anything, the thoughts, you know, of thinking, who am I to do this? You know, will anyone ever listen? Will there be even one listener? Will it make an impact for them? Is it good enough? Am I good enough? What's my message really? You know, like all those questions back and forth. And just trying to figure out, you know, life at that time. That was hard. Like, I just remember those moments of saying, man, that that sucks because you know you have something that you want to give to the world, but you can't even articulate it. You know, so how could anyone around you understand? I mean, when I look at Highs of Highs, there's not a specific moment. I mean, you talked about the billboard. That was a really cool thing to show my parents. You know, I always show that picture of us in front of my family in front of the billboard in trainings and talks because I go, I don't know anybody of you like could relate with this, but this was about 16 months after I launched my podcast, and this was the first moment that I had something tangible that I could show my parents. You know, and they were like looking at the board. They're like, whoa, that's really cool. They're like, wait, what do you do again? And I'm like, well, yeah, like for like the 80th time, like, so it's a podcast. It's like online radio. I'm like, you know, like, so like, you know, it was cool for the moment. But for me, honestly, the biggest thing, like the biggest highs is always just getting these emails, and meeting people at conferences that have either done my course or that have seen my talk or that have listened to my work, that it made a difference for them. You know what I mean? So if you really want to like speak to my heart, like if you listen to this and you have like any takeaways, you like message us or you let us know on social, that's huge because I know that not just that people are listening, but that people are actually implementing it, you know, that it's making a difference for someone else. I think for me, that's where I get my high from personally.
Gotcha. So I just have like a few more questions before we wrap it up.
Sure.
You've interviewed a lot of people at this point. You've interviewed billionaires, Grant Cardone, Tom Bayo, like these huge, these highly influential people.
Yeah.
You yourself being one. What, if you could identify one episode or something someone said or one moment in particular from all your podcasts that kind of stands out to you and sticks with you, what would you say it would be?
Man, there's so many. There's so many. It's so hard. You know, there was you mentioned billionaires. I think of Naveen Jain. And if you listen to that conversation with Naveen Jain, this guy, he's like projected to be the world's first trillionaire. That's right. Trillionaire. I did not say billionaire. He's a current billionaire. He's, you know, going to the trillionaire level. And we were talking about like gut health, education reform, like we're talking about like exponential technology. Dude, I don't know all these different topics, okay? I didn't even know half the language he was using, okay? And Naveen is like an amazing guy. And one of the things that he spoke to me about was that if you create a big enough vision, like the job of an entrepreneur, the job of your leader is not to like figure out, we talked about it before, how to do everything, you know? The reason you want to figure out how to do everything is because you've been conditioned from school, from society, to being like, to having those skills, right? Because the more skills you have back in the days, it would mean that you could like get a job and like provide for your family, right? So it was like a really, really good thing. Like Naveen's thing was that like, you don't have to figure out the how. You just have to figure out and get clear on your vision. Because you figure out your vision, which is like your why, then you attract the who, right? Does that make sense? Like if you figure out why, right? Then you attract the who, and then they figure out the how, you know? And it was, I mean, it's still life-changing. It was still, I think if people can understand that, it's hyper simple, but everybody gets it wrong. 99% of entrepreneurs get this wrong because we're all addicted to the idea that we need to be hustling. We need to be working. One of the best things that Bob Proctor ever told me, he says, working is the worst way to get rich. Working is the worst way of getting money. And I was like, it was like a total like mind warp moment. I was like, what do you mean? Like, I only understand like if I work, that's how I get money, right? Because like when you're at a job and when you're at business school, think about what business school is training you for, right? If you hand in an assignment, they give you back an A, right? If you do this, you get back something, right? If you go work at Google or any other company in the world, if you do your job, you get paid every 2 weeks, right? So like what Bob is saying, he says, if you work, it's the worst way of accumulating wealth, right? Some food for thought, right? So it's all these like mini moments of like, holy crap, like maybe my understanding of the world is not perfect, right? Maybe these individuals that have lived, you know, such crazy lives, you know, Bob Proctor was three times, he's still three times, but at the time he was like beyond three times older than me. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm just immensely grateful. But those are definitely two episodes that definitely stand out. Any episodes that like really get you to like rewire your brain a little bit. I try to do it every episode, but those are definitely some standout ones.
Yeah, cool. And if you could only do one more interview with one person, if you were only able to do one more interview and that was it, who would you be interviewing?
Oh man, one more interview. If I could do one more and that's it, I don't know if I could choose, honestly.
You're on the spot.
Yeah, we're on the spot. We're on the spot. We're on the clock. I guess it has to be. It would have to be Elon. Elon Musk, man. One last one. Let's hit it out of the ballpark.
Awesome. Thank you so much. How can people connect with you? How can people get in touch with you? Where can they follow you on social?
Yeah, I mean, so we mentioned, you know, the podcast, and, you know, first of all, I appreciate just the opportunity to come and share and hang out with you a little bit and capture a bit of this, like, for everyone. The best way of, you know, like, consuming any content or even getting to know any of my work, we've mentioned it multiple times, the Inner Changemaker podcast. If you're listening to this or if you're watching this, that's probably a really, really good way of doing it. For anybody who's looking to start a podcast, we also have a podcast creation roadmap. So it kind of breaks down the kind of like the eight big kind of keys for you to be able to launch a top-rated podcast. That could be probably a good resource for everyone since we talked about podcasting as well.
Have you been thinking of leveraging podcasts and Alexa shows to help grow your business? Not sure maybe where to start and scared of wasting time on the wrong things? Let me be your guide as I show you the right sequences and steps to be able to launch a top-rated show on iTunes, as well as actually leverage your podcast and leverage your Alexa show to build out your business. Don't you think it's time that you put your voice behind your products and services? If you were drawn to this show, then I know that it's time that you got working on your message and sharing that with the world. Get my podcast creation roadmap for free at www.theinnerchangemaker.com/roadmap. Once again, it's www.theinnerchangemaker.com/roadmap.